始まるざますよ。
行くでガンス。
ふんが。
まともに始めなさいよ。
This is Anime Diet Radio, episode number 24, pre-con and post-con. I'm your host, Mike. Please introduce yourselves, everybody.
And this is Raymond Hugh from Taipei, where the food is cheap, the people is cheap, and I get paid cheap.
This is Jeremy from Redondo Beach, where it's currently cloudy, cool, and a balmy 76 degrees.
Balmy? You get the best weather among us all. I get about like 100 degrees Celsius Fahrenheit outside, and it's humid.
Yeesh, it's the humidity.
Yeah,
man.
I'm glad you changed that to Fahrenheit, because Celsius, I know like they measure in Celsius here, but 100 degrees, wow. That would just, you'd just be boiling, melted, right?
That's right. Well, I would be boiling, I would be screaming like a lobster.
Right.
Oh, the lobsters scream?
I think so. I think they do. I've never really boiled a lobster before, though.
Oh. Do crabs scream?
Inside a shell, no one can hear you scream.
you want to use that for the new Ghost in the Shell introduction movie?
I think that would be a great idea for Oshii. I think I'll write his management and tell him that, yeah.
I think at this point he's willing to use anything since he's redoing the original.
Yeah, pretty much. We all now know he's a huge sellout, so...
Oh, God.
I'm sure he could try anything.
Mamoru, George, Lucas, Oshii.
Indeed. Guilty of being Lucasian, as we said in the last audio-only episode. Yes, we are now all sound-only once again after the last episode, which had our faces on screen for the first time, at least most of us, because Ray had to come in through secret underground satellite, as you might recall.
Translation, you guys were too cheap to fly me in.
Yeah, translation, we're like actually flat broke and don't really make a lot of money anyway, so, you know. Actually, I think Anime Expo should have paid to have you come, though.
Absolutely.
I think that would have been, they would have increased their attendance at least, you know, threefold.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, we have a relatively simple show for you today, because this is sort of our in-between cons episode. Anime Expo, of course, was a couple of weeks ago, but next week, Anime Diet is also going to Comic-Con 2008 in San Diego.
This is com with O-N and not U-M, right?
Yeah.
Because you said pre-com.
Oh, yeah. Pre-con. Leave it to Ray to bring out the best in our show.
Yes, indeed. He's the highlight, as always, as one of our critics has put it.
Okay, you don't have to feel so sore about it.
Well, you know. Yeah. Where exactly are you sore, Mike, about it?
I'm not going to say. I am not going to say.
Are we going to beep now?
No comment. Anyway, we do have a relatively simple show for you guys today. We're just going to cover a couple of news items. One about a show that I think all of us are really looking forward to in its revival.
Mm-hmm.
And another about the kind of corporate shenanigans that seems to happen behind the scenes at certain anime studios, including one whose autograph I got last couple of weeks ago. And finally, we're going to talk a little bit about our experience being on a con panel. It's namely the Anime Diet Radio and Anime Genesis live panel at AX, which is certainly...
was an experience.
Memorable experience, to say the least, for all of us.
Mm. And all of our attendees.
Yes, all roughly 200 of you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. We love you, guys.
Enjoy your panties.
Yeah, and enjoy your panties. But we'll get to that a little bit later. Why don't we go ahead and move on to our first news item.
Hello,
If you look at some of the earliest articles that were ever posted on Anime Diet, back when it was still called Scattered Cells, actually, if you look at the very first post that Ray ever wrote, it's about one very interesting particular show. And tell us what that show actually was, Ray.
Black Lagoon?
Yes, and do you care to remember the title of that post by any chance?
No, because I don't remember. I do apologize for my lack of memory. I think it's the alcohol last night again.
No, that's okay. It was called Black Lagoon Blows Me Away. And I think that's actually a really good...
Did you really say Black Lagoon blows you away?
Yes.
I see that Ray no longer has a monopoly on all the sexual double entendres in this show.
Yikes. Yikes.
Yeah.
Hey, that's better than the special attack in D. Greyman. Actually, one of the alchemists has a special attack that he calls Break Wind, which is really incredible. Really, really incredible.
Actually, that could be a really powerful attack. I can see how that could actually be very, very menacing.
Yeah, especially if you have a lighter.
Exactly. Yep.
Precisely.
Yeah. And but in either case, this was really just a lead-up to talk about the fact that a third season of Black Lagoon anime has, in fact, been confirmed.
Woohoo!
And after two very successful seasons, it was, I think, the second series review I ever put up on the website was, in fact, my thoughts on Black Lagoon, which I thought was a very good mix of both action and character development. Mm-hmm. And according to the Anime News Network, it's been greenlit for production, and they talk a little bit actually about the strange and unfortunate release schedule, because Black Lagoon was actually pre-licensed by Genion all the way back when. Mm-hmm. And of course, we all know what happened to Genion USA. They went kaput. At AX this year, Funimation announced that they've rescued Black Lagoon, and so they are going to be releasing it on their own. And I remember actually taping a big Black Lagoon poster at the Genion booth in 2007, where it has a really big picture of Revy putting a gun at you, and it says, "Kill them all."
Yeah.
Well, I saw a very similar poster now hanging up on Funimation's booth this year.
Does it say blow them all?
No, I don't remember exactly what the words were, but it was very similar. And so you can be assured that at least DVDs will be released eventually of the first two seasons, but now there's going to be more.
Yay! Uh-huh. Funimation style.
Yep.
Let's see how that goes.
Exactly. We all know.
Are we going to show some love to Funimation now? Jeremy?
You know what? I mean, it is what it is. I think they've been trying a little harder. I think they've been trying to atone for some of their past sins. And I think what they recently redid, the One Piece without the horrible for kids version. They released actual original edit, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or the original material, unedited.
Mm-hmm. They certainly aren't the company they were when they were the ones who were localizing Dragon Ball Z, where they took all kinds of liberties with things, and they acquired a very bad reputation at first. But you know, over time, they have definitely become a much more fan-friendly in the sense that, or they're releasing releases that aren't as obnoxious to hardcore fans such as ourselves these days. And now that they're rescuing so many titles from ADV and Genion, you know, they have become a cornerstone of the American anime industry now.
Well, I think basically at this point we can just. We're kind of like the situation kind of forces to give them, I don't know, the benefit of the doubt for the time being. Mm-hmm. To see how they do with these titles. But many of them have already been, you know, dubbed and subtitled already. So it's really just a re-releasing them, and which is always good if it's already been done well.
Just right, exactly.
Putting them back out on the market.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing with Black Lagoon, of course, is that it was a fantastic piece of action. And it doesn't seem like we get that many shows like that these days anymore, isn't it? I mean...
Action and plot?
Yeah. I think there was a little bit of an attempt to that. And I actually... I have been watching it, and, you know, it's kind of one of those guilty pleasures where it's just total, like, I know it's pretty much crap, but Crystal Blaze, you know?
Oh,
I think it tried to be sort of the poor man's Cowboy Bebop, in a sense, you know, but definitely has a lot of poor character development and bad plot holes, whatnot, so...
Lots of moe.
And, yeah, it's well, not really. And it's kind of lacking on the action front. There's not a lot of action. A lot of, like...
Wow.
Yeah, it's like a lot of pseudo-action.
Well, then why are you watching it? What's the guilty pleasure?
I don't know. Something about, you know, naked glass women. I don't know. Anyway.
I thought so. It's the fan service. I knew
it. If it was you, Mike, I might would say it was the guy who dresses in drag, but, you know. I'm sorry. Ooh. Did I say that?
Ooh.
See, you shouldn't be saying that because you dressed in drag.
Yes, this is true.
Yes, it is.
I was comfortable enough in my manhood to be able to wear that when Mike was shunning me for the fact that he couldn't resist my, you know, nice-looking body in a dress.
That was your suggestion in the outtakes, buddy. You were the one trying to entice me.
It worked, didn't it? I mean, come on.
You were the one dressed so provocatively. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I make a good Haruhi.
I'm speechless.
For once? Really? Wow.
Yes, I don't know what to say.
This is a great accomplishment.
You've done something awesome, yeah. And I'm sitting on the other side of the other side of the earth, so I'm actually not as comfortable as I should be.
Fangirls, you can all squeal now.
Yeah.
But in either case, yeah. What about the action shows that you've been watching, Ray? Like,
no gun shows, but I'm sure a lot of manga fans already know Blade of Immortal. It's an excellent. It's an excellent manga with great art. That's very, I mean, in many ways, it's almost like ukiyo-e or the Japanese print block art. But
ukiyo-e?
It's got, thank you. And it's got great plot. It's mostly personality. Personality, Janaka. It's mostly character. You know, like great character interactions, moral drama. And you know, you don't have like, you know, you don't have a cheesy invisible main character. You have some guy who's pretty, you know, he started out doing what he did only for a very simple reason, really. And you know, but going to the anime, for my first watch, I cannot say if I was impressed or not, but as I took my screenshots and everything, I've realized that they it was very stylish. It was extremely stylish. Every still shot looked like kind of like a comic square. I mean, what you might call these things?
A panel.
Yeah.
I know, right. And it was very artistic, and they set up the scenes well. And, you know, and there are some interesting elements, like in the eye catcher in the opening. Basically, you see Manji, the main character's name, standing on top of today's building. You know, and my review said, you know, I expressed my speculation of the reason why they use that. And, you know, but going on to the main plot, like the first episode was, are we reviewing the episode? Anyway, that's one of the action shows that I've seen recently, but I can't think of anything else at the moment.
Well, how does it compare with something like Black Lagoon, which definitely was one of the highlights of 2006, I mean, which was a wonderful year.
Yeah, but see, I already watched one episode. Like, okay. If you really want to ask me anything about it, I would say that Black Lagoon was done by Madhouse, right?
I think so. I'm not entirely sure, actually.
Okay, see, Madhouse used to do a lot of sword fat action shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Blade of Immortal is done by B-Train, which is known by Noir.
Right.
And Mad Axe and, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, while I watched the OP, I felt like the Sora action was nice, extremely detailed. I think it was a little fast, but I think, you know, if you're a skilled swordsman, you'll really fight that fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're not going to see a lot of pauses and everything. Oh, like Ultraviolet 044.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that show only sells style, and it sells Romy Paku, or Park Romy, really.
Right. Yeah, actually, Black Lagoon was done by Madhouse. You're right. And okay. And so that's interesting. So it's almost like they're trading places, because Madhouse, especially with Sword to Stranger, you know, is definitely these days into sword fighting and Claymore.
And for old-timers, Ninja Squirrel.
Right, right. But it looks like now they're going to be working on a big gun fight one, and it looks like B-Train, which is known for their Girls with Guns trilogy, is now going to work on a sword fighting one. And
yep.
But yeah, in either case, it looks like that there's going to be something to look forward to whenever they are going to actually put that out. My guess is it's not going to be this year, because it's just been announced and confirmed. They haven't given any dates whatsoever. So
any other action shows? Anyone?
I really can't think of any at the moment.
Okay. Jeremy?
It just really depends on what you could title action, really. Like, you know.
Does Soul Eater count?
Yeah.
You know what? Soul Eater really, honestly, I mean, there's a certain amount of action, but it's more of a comedy. I mean, what titles would you have to put in action to fit that in? I just really think it fits more of a comedy. Gurren Lagann, if you consider Gurren Lagann an action, you might consider Soul Eater an action, but it's maybe action comedy. I don't know.
I see. Well, in either case, then, it's going to be something to look forward to for anybody who loves gunfights. And so, why don't we go ahead and move on to our second news item. And this is Anime Diet Radio, episode number 24. One of the autographs that I got at AX this year was the autograph of none other than the president of Studio Bones, Mr. Masahiko Minami. He signed a poster of Scrap Princess, which I'm going to be giving to Ray very soon.
Yes.
And he also signed one of my signing boards. He actually went above and beyond the Call of Duty, because I think technically you're only supposed to sign one thing, but he was gracious enough to actually sign a second thing.
Thank you.
We got the gozaimasu. And so, Bones, of course, recently, though, has been at the center of some rather interesting rumors and shenanigans, which I think are really kind of funny in some respect, and also a little bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
According to Anime News Network, there was a file that was uploaded onto a file-sharing website that purported, it was a spreadsheet. It was supposed to be a Bones management document listing basically all the main staff and like what their future projects are going to be, and also like personal comments, personal information, like phone numbers, and even a rating about how good an employee they were.
And bad?
We don't know about that. Well, actually, no. Some of those comments apparently accused some members of the staff of extramarital affairs.
Wow.
So actually, you're right. In bed is actually not entirely. And there's also. So that's not entirely inaccurate. There are also comments about, like, you know, this person is a jerk, you know, or is not doing well, et cetera, et cetera. The part that seems to interest fans the most, though, is the alleged rumor of second seasons coming up for both Darker Than Black and Full Metal Alchemist. Because the document says that the directors of both of those shows in their previous seasons seem to be coming back for that. The Bones president, of course, has completely denied that this has comes out from the company. And their own internal investigation, at least according to him, says that, you know, the information did not come from within the company. Some outsider must have done it to libel the people.
Of course, that infamous outsider.
Yes.
It had to be the outsider. Couldn't have been anybody inside the company.
Mm-hmm. And they want to continue a special investigation into who distributed the file. If the identity of a person is discovered, the company plans to deal with the individual severely.
Oh. Like maybe crushing him with the Rossifon.
Yes. And however,
whips and chains. Leather.
Oh.
In another interesting twist, though, President Minami would not outright deny that there is a sequel coming for Full Metal Alchemist or Darker Than Black. He actually said it hasn't been decided yet. We are interested in doing them. They were extremely fascinating with dramatic storylines, and there's a lot that we could do potentially. And so it's really interesting how much that, in a sense, gives credence to that document. It's Satoshi Kon. You might know him as a very famous anime director, right? He's insisted on his blog there's absolutely no way this document didn't come from the inside. Like, with all the kind of information that was in there, all the personal information, all the stuff about extramarital affairs and everything like that.
Right.
You know, it, including, like, apparently the extramarital affairs went on while some of the BOEM staff were at Anime Expo.
So the geeks are...
Yeah,
and we were there to tape some of that, so we will be uploading live footage along with this podcast.
Yes, we will be providing.
Yes, none of it involves Mike and leather whips and chains.
Thankfully,
or Shokotan.
No. Yes, but in either case, it really does seem like there was because this leaked document happened in the middle of Anime Expo while the president was away signing things for us. And so,
that's awesome. That is, like, brilliant timing.
It's like almost as if it were, if it's internal, which it really sounds like it is to me, it's like there was almost like a coup. It's like the beginning of a mutiny or a coup of some kind. Yeah.
Well, really well planned out a public PR stunt.
I know. Like, well, this is not exactly the way I think I would have chosen to promote the new Full Metal Alchemist and Darker Than Black seasons.
They're playing soap. This is like soap. This is like Hollywood soap.
It really is, isn't it? It's...
Look, they figure otakus want to know about these behind-the-scene things. I mean, if you watch Tuchan, like, you'll have people talk about this behind-the-scene things, although they're mostly up concerned seiyus, but, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, it's pretty funny because it set off a storm on the Anime News Network forums, but most of it was about whether it was a good idea to continue Full Metal Alchemist or Darker Than Black.
Okay.
So how do, you know, one thing I didn't understand about your comment earlier, how does Satoshi Kon have a dog in this fight, if I can use that colloquialism that nobody will understand?
I think it's, yeah, he's not part of Bones. He's really affiliated with Madhouse, and so he's... But the thing is, I guess he thinks, based on his experience with dealing with corporations and dealing with what goes on behind the scene at a typical anime, large anime studio, that he just doesn't see personally anyway. I mean, obviously he is an outsider, and his opinion clashes with that of the Bones president. But but of course it's in the interest of Mr. Minami to deny that it comes from the inside, because then that would indicate that there's some trouble, you know, brewing within the company, and we don't want to... You know, you don't want to admit that publicly if it's not true, or if it is true, even.
Isn't that pretty risque of Mr. Kon to come out and say that? Isn't he risking any kind of future connections, work with, like, this company?
Well, he's never worked with that company, but...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, maybe...
Collaborations?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's... I find it rather curious he would come out and say something like that in public.
Maybe he has a, maybe he does have a quote unquote dog in the fight.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he you know, somebody was messing around with his woman. Maybe that's what happened. He had you know, somebody in the company, and you know.
Was that a scoop? Was that a real scoop?
Who knows?
I don't know. We will send our investigative reporting team in to look on it.
Absolutely. And so it's really fascinating when these sort of things happen and they get out into the public, because typically, and especially with larger corporations, these kind of things do happen all the time, but they usually just, you don't usually hear about it unless the failure is so huge in public that they either have to send, like, investigators in, or somebody committed crimes and the people are probably going to go to jail. So, yeah.
But are we, like, friends with Minami-san since we got his autograph?
I don't know if we're friends.
I think we're impartial. I think we're totally we're a news organization, so we can't claim we have no friends.
I was going to help him out by saying
for that damn press.
Yeah.
No morals, no friends, no scruples.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is true. But I think I've been helping him by saying this is a public publicity stunt.
Could very well be.
They should hope that it is. Everybody should hope that it is. Anyway, because Bones puts out good work.
Oh,
They are actually one of the more consistently good studios as far as their track record goes.
Right.
The only one that I can think of which I don't think was so great was Wolf's Rain. But that's me personally. A lot of people do like that show.
It did get a decent ending after they put out a 4-episode OVA.
Ah, interesting. But they are
remember?
Yeah. No, I didn't watch it all. I didn't watch it all.
Oh.
I only watched the first few episodes with you actually.
Right.
Back in Maryland. And but they are the people who put out Cowboy Bebop.
Mm-hmm.
And Ra's Zephon.
Mm-hmm.
And
Cowboy Bebop is a cornerstone too, and like the most recent this generation of anime fans, you know, really was groundbreaking here in the sense that it was one of the first consistent action shows to make a mainstream success here in the States.
Yep.
On television. So yeah, I mean, you can't deny that at all.
Mm-hmm. So it would be a shame, of course, for anything bad to happen to Bones, you know, to undermine the quality of their productions.
It would be bad for Bone Studio to get boned. That's what you're just saying.
Yes. Indeed.
Nice pun.
It was coming. We knew it was coming.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah. Ezekiel, connect them. Dry Bones. Ezekiel.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if they're putting out good work, I mean, come on. Seriously, you think about all these stars that are just, you know, screwing everything that walks and some that don't, I don't know. And just, you know, doing this and that and the other shady thing. And, you know, as long as they're doing good work, people just don't even don't care.
Exactly. So that's all we're hoping for.
Yeah, it's probably nothing. It's a flash in the pan. It might be more serious over in Japan than here, but
right here.
I mean, nobody gives a crap.
So, yeah, we wish them all the best. We hope they find out what was going on. Why don't we go ahead and move on to our roundtable discussion then?
Sounds good.
This is Anime Diet Radio, episode number 24.
We're Knights of the Round Table. We dance when we're able. We do routine to call the scenes of bookwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
So one of the most memorable things, of course, that we've done was the recording of the last episode of Anime Diet Radio, or should I say Anime Diet Video.
Mm-hmm.
That was our panel at Anime Expo 2008 with Anime Genesis, Venue of Anime Genesis. It was on Friday, July 4th, Independence Day, the day we declared war on the rest of the anime blogosphere.
I don't know. Yeah. That was I don't know about declaring war, because, I mean, I think we're shooting off a couple sparklers there, maybe, but that's about it.
Yeah. You have penty cannon!
We'll get at that later, but I really wish we could have taken that to the full extent with the panty cannon, actually.
Yes.
Talk about that in a moment, but...
For those of you who didn't download the video, the last episode, and need a little bit of context to that, that was our special guest. We had a guy named Dexter come, and actually, he was essentially a used panty machine. I don't know how else to explain it, but that's what he was, a used panty machine. And he would throw out thrift store $1 panties out at the audience in bags.
Actually, thrift store $1 panties. You know what? I think we shouldn't put it in that context. It was only till later that we found out that he did in fact purchase them at the 99-cent store. But the way that they were marketed, mind you, was the fact that they were anime character panties. It was the anime character used panty machine, including panties from Rei, Ayanami, all the way up to more notorious anime characters, anime fandom, Manfei. You know, which was just, I think, the most disturbing thing about it.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Manfei. I can't believe it.
Ew.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, it was definitely one of the highlights of our, if not the highlight. I think that's probably the most memorable thing that we did there. We had some really good material, some really good plans that unfortunately didn't quite come to fruition. And I think the first part that I would like to talk about so people have some context to how things ended up working out for us there, which I think overall affected our performance. I mean, not giving a cop out here. I mean, it was the first time that we had done that, so obviously I don't think we would have been, you know, as strong as we, you know, could be if we had a lot more experience. I mean, it's one thing to get on the air here with you guys over Skype and just have a conversation, but it's another to get up in front of a
live studio audience,
200 people or more. Right. So,
and knowing they were aliens, experts, and people from the future.
Yeah, and more importantly, otakus, which is probably the most critical group of people that there could possibly be. I mean, in all due love to our otaku friends, but you know, let's face it, you know, some otaku were pretty notoriously critical. I think our audience was actually really pretty gracious and pretty showing us a lot of love. I mean, we got some laughs when maybe we shouldn't have, but you know, I had a good time. I had a great time.
No, we all had a wonderful time. And it really came at the end of the road of a lot of obstacles and a lot of difficulties, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it started really just as an idea where I said, like, you know, we've known Bainu of Anime Genesis for actually more than a year. I actually was at his podcast panel last year on hand for that. And I just simply, like, you know, shot him an email a couple of months before Expo saying, hey, would you be interested in doing a panel together? Because Bainu is doing it solo these days. He's no longer part of a group podcast, and he thought it was a great idea actually to get together. And the first problem that really came up really is just waiting for the confirmation from AX. It came very the official confirmation came very late.
It was like not even a week before.
Yeah.
So we were actually scheduled to go on. So I mean, we had been planning as much as we could. But at the same time, it was not 100% certain that we were actually going to be in this panel. So we weren't able to really advertise as much as we'd like to.
Right.
I think the second problem, though, was our plans to actually have our friend's Makanai band come and perform there, and which, you know, which Pamela Moss is part of the group, which any of you that attended this year's AX and the AX Idol competition know that she's
the winner.
You know, winner of the 2008 AX Idol.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. I mean, I'm so stoked for them. I'm glad that mm-hmm. worked out for them, because they actually had a lot of problems of their own. A part of our idea to have them on was because that they are an absolutely fantastic cover band of Japanese rock anime tunes, and just, you know, talented musicians and singers. I mean, they're just really great, and I got the pleasure to get to know them and through my anime club, Anime Soufflé, and go see some of their stuff. And I'm generally pretty skeptical. When I met them and found out their band, I was like, oh, that's cool, you know. And then I actually went to see them, and I was like, wow, you know, these guys are really good. And but
she's awesome.
I mean, Ray, you saw the video of Pamela that we put up, right?
I saw the video. Yeah, her Japanese was impeccable. Seriously,
right?
At least that's what I thought. What I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, I mean, she got voted in as AX Idol, and everybody that I think has seen her perform really, like, had a good response to her. You know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just Japanese is good, but she's saying well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pamela. Her stage presence and personality by far is more of what I would consider a person that would be in the position of AX Idol. And I don't know by what criteria they actually have in the past judged the AX Idol. In fact, I wasn't even able to be there for the AX Idol contest.
It happened right after our panel.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, like, we were just unable to be there. Which is actually good. Like, that actually worked out for them. That was one of the things that actually worked out for them, that they were unable to be there for our podcast. But they basically having, like as I said before, being even though that they're a really great band, they actually didn't make it into the Battle of the Bands. And from what I understand, some of the other bands that were on there were nowhere near as good as what they were.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, we really wanted to give them some sort of venue to do something there. And we wanted to, you know, have them on our panel. And, you know, we really liked them and we thought it would have been the greatest. It didn't work out due to some really bad sound issues that ended up biting us in the butt later. And also the layout of the room was, looking at it, I think we actually probably could have pulled it off, having just moved things around a little bit, but they denied us the ability to use, you know, that room to have a live band there. Even acoustically, I think we couldn't even have pulled it off. But since they weren't able to be there, Pamela actually went and two of the members of the band went and were in the AXL competition, and Pamela actually did end up winning.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, so we offered a bit of an apology to them at the end of our panel video and tried to make up a little bit for it too by putting their website link at the end of Pamela's video, that one that we put up. So, and yeah, speaking of sound, I think that was like the big other huge difficulty that we faced. I mean, one big difficulty was, or issue that we had to deal with, was how do we get Ray on? Like, he's coming from Skype, you know? And Would we have a reliable internet connection? Would we have the ability to feed sound from the computer to to the speakers?
Ever so mysterious, Ray.
And you know, we did get the internet connection, no problem. I mean, we just, you know, internet access from that provider at the convention center. But what we really had problems with was the not getting an audio feed.
We literally had a microphone pointed at my speakers on my laptop, and the fact that it was so loud, though, I think in the end it really worked out. Like,
it did, but that also ended up causing some other problems with our. We were using one of the wireless mics, and they had two, and I assume that they were on different channels, but apparently they weren't, and the sound people didn't know that. Which I want to say, though, I don't in any way blame the sound people there, because they were AX, you know, staffers that had some familiarity with sound and had been trained as much as possible, but didn't have probably enough information to do what they needed to do, and they tried everything they could to help us. They were really helpful and really great, and really I appreciated them, but I think they were unaware that those weren't on different channels, and it was only as I tried to use the other wireless microphone to interview Dexter out of the Panty Machine that we ended up running into problems and having...
We lost Ray for the last couple of minutes until I pointed mine into my own microphone into the speakers.
And also lost a sound with back and forth with Dexter, which I think was them trying to switch back and forth and try to make sure that we were, you know, working, or maybe just the two cutting out because they were on the whole time. I don't know.
Yeah. We were in a state of unbelievable panic in the 5 minutes before. And Ray, you heard all that, right? You were actually on early.
Yeah. And you know, like I thought there was a fire going on. I was like, okay, the next minute they're gonna pull the fire alarm. Right. The whole thing's gonna crash down. And Mike, since you're the Zeta geek, I mean Alpha geek, please explain the dangerous peril that we could have gotten had the wireless connection failed.
Exactly.
Explain it in a very exciting storytelling sort of way, please.
He would have killed me. Yeah. And aside from that, I mean, there was... we were told that we couldn't get a local connection in there. We had to use the extremely slow wireless, convention wireless. I mean, but thankfully, it didn't go down even once. Yeah. Which is amazing to me. That's better than like when we record our own podcast at home sometimes.
Right.
And so it didn't go down even once when it could have completely crashed and burned like multiple times.
And I think the thing that really made things hard for us is we really wanted to kind of get everything set up, you know, do like a little bit of a pre-run through and, you know, just get ourselves amped up and going before, you know, we actually really started before people came in and all that. And we're able to keep people from coming in with some help from the staff until we were actually fully ready, in which we started like 5 minutes late because we were delayed in being set up. We were told that because there was a half an hour break. No, it was more than half an hour, I think.
It was half an hour, but the other panel refused to leave for 15 minutes.
Right.
Oh.
People were
smoozing and nothing to what they were doing, because, I mean, it looked like they may have some good stuff there, but,
yeah.
You know, well, you know what? I don't know who the guys are, and I did hear from some people that really, not to be rude or anything, but these people, they were doing a panel on how to do animation on the cheap, and I'm not talking bad about them, but somebody was saying that basically their panel was pretty much devoted to talking about whatever project they were working on instead of showing people how to do animation on the cheap. And one thing I did notice is while they were still there and we were needing to get in there is that they were kind of smoozing, which is kind of understandable, like talking to people that are coming up and talking to you. But when we actually were in a panic and needed to get things ready, it was really when I told him a couple times, you know, we need to get things set up. Could you please just, you know, take it outside or off to the side, off the table, so we can actually set up? It was only when I really got really forceful with them that they actually decided to do it, which I've heard is pretty much the common thing. Like, you have to just really, in order to get people out of previous panels, you really have to get forceful. And I'm a pretty nice guy. I don't like to do that unless I really have to. But
yeah,
it was a little probably. I think it was a little unnecessary. So,
if I were there, I would be like, "Hey, asshole! It's time for you to leave. It's not your own."
Yeah, and that's why we really needed you there. I wish we had forked up the, you know what?
I was like, maybe your project is gonna suck. Now get out. Now maybe you're not gonna. Maybe your commercialization effort has just failed. Now get out. Seriously, some people need to get hammered on the head.
Yeah, you know, and I was actually the most, you know, forceful out of all of us. I mean, you know, like I said, I will get to a point where I will, like, and I was telling them, I was like, look, you need to leave now. You know, you need to get your stuff and go because we need to be here now. But, you know, and it's a shame. I mean, it's a shame that it had to get to that point. But yeah, that was really what was going on behind the scenes. And I think the other thing, lest this become a total, I don't want this to become a total gripe fest about all the things that went wrong, but the last thing that really went wrong was the we changed the lineup.
Yeah, we had to change the show order at the last minute. Yeah, because of the panty machine guy, and because we wanted to include guests on, which I didn't take into account when I made the PowerPoint. So actually, the PowerPoint was completely out of order by the time the show started.
Right,
and it was set to the old order. I had only created it that morning too. But we, like, at around 5 p.m., about 2 hours.
Which had a lot to do with the fact that, you know, like I said, we didn't get the confirmation ahead of time. There were some elements that we had been working on that we weren't sure we were going to be able to use, and we actually got in there. The original thing of, you know, having the band, and, you know, we kind of planned on, I mean, just so many changes that it was really hard to get anything nailed down until, like you said, that last day.
Yeah, and even on the last day, it changed 2 hours before showtime.
Right.
And that was a little hard to deal with, and so for everybody who was kind of confused with the PowerPoint, that's the reason why.
I think also too, I felt bad for Bainu, and I think one thing he was not really, I think, able to be at his best. And the one thing I did feel kind of bad about is that for the sake of actually recording this for his website, he actually had to give up, because of the audio problems and not having an audio feed, he had to give up his laptop to try to actually put it near a speaker to record, thus not having any of his notes because of the lack of time that we had. We didn't have any chance. He didn't have any chance to transfer it over. And I didn't know what was going on, except that, you know, I asked him, I was like, you know, right before we started, I was like, you know, hey, where's your notes, dude? And he's like, oh, I'm just going to wing it. And at that point, I'm kind of like, what the hell? What are you doing? What are you doing, Bainu? And it was really humbling to realize that, you know, he just, for the sake of getting a recording of that, like, gave up safety blanket, security blanket to to have that happen, and therefore I think he wasn't quite at his best because he didn't have his all his material in front of him.
This is security blanket. You've been watching Peanuts.
Yeah, yeah, that's like Linus. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I know. That's I did. I sometimes mix up my metaphors. So.
So well, what was the experience like for you, Ray? Did it feel a little bit surreal? Like talking to an audience and not seeing them.
I mean, I was like, okay, I could not gauge anybody's reaction, not as much as I wanted. And I know for a couple of times I heard silence, I know it didn't work. For example, my super awesome Chinese line did not work at all. You know, I thought people would laugh, but I think people were like, oh my God, he didn't just say that. And I'm like, why?
Yeah, actually, you know, what was interesting is I don't think you
picked up all the laughter, first of all.
I think, Ray, you got probably the most laughs out of all of us.
Consistently.
Really.
Oh, yeah, I picked up everything.
Yeah, consistently.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
All of us had duds, actually. Me included. You know? Yeah.
I picked up everything I needed to pick up. And, you know, like, one thing I did was right. Was you know how like on Saturday Night Live, basically you know when the audience is laughing, they will like kind of pause to let them finish laughing, and I tried that. That was the only thing I did right, I think.
Yeah, even I didn't do that right sometimes. Yeah,
and as far as the God,
I think that was the thing. It's just all the things that were going added that much extra stress to an already difficult performance for many of us, because
it's the first time for most of us.
First time for all of us in this venue. I mean, I've been in front of a crowd before, so I didn't really have too much of a problem doing that as long as I knew what was going on. That was the thing that was hard for me, is not really having all the information that I needed. But for, you know, a couple of Mike, I don't know, I mean, have you been in front of a crowd in that sort of situation, like to
having
a performance?
Having to wing it, though? No, not... I've, like, acted in plays and stuff like that before, but I've never had to wing it, like, without any support whatsoever.
It was a lot of improv, really, that really didn't... And that's not necessarily my strongest suit. Improv, I suppose I could do okay if I had a good, you know, framework of a certain... aspects of it.
Yeah, not to kiss each other's asses, but I think Jeremy did a great improv.
No, you really did.
He saved the last, 8 minutes of the show?
Yeah, the last 10 minutes of the show.
You know what? Honestly, what really was and it was just a terrific serendipity, I think, to run into Dexter. And I want to send a big shout out and thanks to Dexter.
Panty Man.
Dexter. Marvis Laboratory for their creation of and all his compatriots for their creation of the anime panty machine, because that was really incredible to run into him, like, literally, like, that day when I arrived to the convention late because of just, you know, coming in late the night before and oversleeping, running into him in the parking lot and just seeing his incredibly hilarious creation. I thought, you know, we've got to have this guy on the show, so I asked them, and they were more than happy to be on, and it was definitely the highlight of our panel.
Yeah, it was. And it really got a good crowd response, and yeah, I mean, one of the many things that I think worked, you know, well beyond, I think, my expectations at least, was the fact that we had such a big crowd. We had we filled up 2/3 of the theater, roughly, about 200 people.
Yeah.
I was figuring 50 people, so I wasn't as nervous.
Yeah. Maybe that would help you next time. You just imagine it's a smaller audience.
We had a decent presence from, Anime Souffle. I mean, not huge, because they all were involved in other things. But we had, you know, some of our friends out there, which really helped. But, you know, it was a lot of people that weren't probably familiar with us. I mean, I think some people had been told outside by some of our friends that were out there.
Don't forget Bainu. Bainu promoted it too. So.
And Bainu, Bainu's friends, that people out there were told that, like, hey, you know, they were asking, why should we come in this panel? What's going on? And I was like, oh, yeah, well, they're going to be throwing out panties in the crowd. I only heard that story later, but I think that was what got some people's interest. So, it's our first panel, and you know, I think it wasn't too bad for our first panel. I can't really complain too much. I mean, it wasn't spectacular. But considering all the problems that, that we had, I mean, I can't be too hard on us. I mean, I don't think we should be too hard on ourselves. But did I say that? Did I say hard on us?
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. You know, I heard Ray kind of snickering in the background, and I was hoping it would pass, but you know, it didn't.
No. We're never gonna let you get away with that ever.
But no, literally, I really think you know.
Well,
I think it went okay, and you know, I'm looking forward to what we can come up with in the future, and just being that much more prepared, and I'm excited about, you know, what we can come up with next time, and you guys will have to come out and check us out and see what other craziness we can actually, when we really plan, come up with.
You know, any single one of those problems that we had, and we had multiple ones, could have sunk us completely.
Oh, totally.
The fact that it just worked at all is almost a miracle. It really is. It's
And I'm really thankful for all the help that we got too, really. Yeah. And I failed to mention, but you know, Matt and Katie.
Yep.
You know, they were a huge help in just making sure that this you know, happened, and you know, standing outside and.
But yeah, on the whole, you know, I really think the panel was a turning point and a real milestone for us. We really showed that we could put together. We and Beinu could put together a show that could entertain people, you know, at least some of the time.
Yeah, people didn't, you know, people weren't throwing stuff at us. People weren't falling asleep that I know of. Some people may have left, but I didn't really notice it. I tend to notice those things. Mm. So, you know, so we, thanks yeah, everybody that came out and supported us. Thank you so much for being so gracious and, you know, coming out and checking us out.
If you guys can hear us, we give you a hand right now.
I know. Thank you to all of our fans and listeners and watchers out there. It was really worth it. And we really want to try doing something like that again one day. So stay tuned. Absolutely.
Right. And you know, the good thing is we didn't get any cyber tomatoes thrown on our faces.
Nope.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And so, I think we produced a worthwhile thing. That's a great note on an up note to end this episode of Anime Diet Radio, episode 24. Next week, we'll be heading to Comic-Con, and you will see video diaries just like we did for AX. Not as extensive, perhaps, because it's not as anime-related. We're going to be trying to get some signings from Tite Kubo, the author of Bleach, and as well as be attending his panel.
No, Jeremy can't wait!
Yay! Yeah. I really hope I get to at least get to squeeze in there and at least get a chance to say hi to him.
Yeah, and so this is Michael Huang signing off today for Anime Diet Radio, episode number 24.
This is Raymond Hugh, and the weather is still humid.
This is Jeremy from Redondo Beach, and it's pretty dark outside right now, but still about the same.
All right. See you all next time.